miss one hell's game!
For the ball,
get up! It's loose!
It's on the way. Plenty of leg.
Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do this.
I got to get home for Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, what a weenie.
This dude.
Your awesome. Street cred went so far down right there.
I can't say anything because we'll watch like The Hills and –
No, The Hills is fire.
The Hills, that's not around anymore, though, right?
No, there's a new one.
Yeah, there's a new one. There's
an hour recording.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're recording. This is how we're starting.
Did I pay the $20 to get the full season? Yes.
Whoa, and you're making fun of me for Bachelor in Paradise, which is great television.
I know, and I told you we're really in the same boat. I was just giving okay. I got to give you a hard time.
You know, everybody has their faults. And, you know, you all just like bad TV. I, on the other hand, like really good TV when Kentucky is scoring lots of points and kicking tail on Saturdays. That's how we're going to open up the KSR Football Podcast. Whew. This is a good segue from bad reality television to football.
I can't say I fully support that transition, but
okay.
Now that it's done, we're
it's
here.
Done. Yeah, we made it. We've landed. We don't sound like crap anymore. So
yeah, are you
you're
sure
welcome.
You're recording after
yes.
last week?
I have it plugged in. This is the cord that wasn't plugged in. Kind of a big
did
deal.
Did you do some kind of an intro you added?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did an apology.
I had several people text me. They were like, we want to be mad at Roush, but after hearing his intro, we feel bad for him. Does he need a hug?
Oh, man. I was distraught.
Whoa. At least on my end, my friends and the listeners I know were in your corner and felt bad for you. I'm sure some people wanted to fight you. But
I think
there's
I got
a lot of
some,
sympathy out there, too.
I think doing the apology, I really got out in front of it. It's almost like I took a PR class.
Charles, well, you weren't here.
Yeah, what happened?
We did maybe, I'd say this in front of you because you weren't a part of it, maybe our best in a long time. We had our rhythm back.
Oh, it was good. We were back.
But somebody.
You all met without me and didn't. I didn't even know about this meeting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, somebody didn't record it.
No way. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah. I had it. So I had it recording, but
Charles leaving.
It wasn't picking up any of the goods. Like, it was coming from this little thing just sitting there. It wasn't plugged in right. So it sounded like, pardon my French, dog shit. It was terrible. It was really bad.
How long did y'all go?
Oh,
it was an hour and a half, and you could barely hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Barely.
You can hear, like, everybody in the bar.
You have to hook up, like, your best speakers to just hear
it
a whisper.
So bad. And it sounds like just stuff. It's like just running into it every 5 seconds.
So
it was brutal. So
we didn't get the 10 million downloads the week before?
No, we did not get 10 million downloads. But this week, we're getting 10 million downloads because there's a lot of good football to talk about. And not just like, oh, we watched – I probably watched 16 football games in 4 or 5 days, give or take. You know, there was a lot of channel surfing bouncing around. But the best game of them all was when Kentucky shot the Rockets out of the sky. Which I like that line.
I don't like that line. That was very cheesy.
Very, very cheesy.
I was very, very pleased with how Saturday went. Looked like a part of the fan base might have overreacted a little bit to that first drive. Got to remember, fresh out of camp.
Yeah.
It was a bad mistake, not defending him. But I saw some people on Twitter like, oh, 2-10. It's like, well, that was one play.
Yeah, that's Tennessee 2-10. But this, it was the Terry pass, right, where he
– No, I'm talking about Jamari Brown giving up –
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
that right there has been a lot of people, because secondary was already the concern, and then that happens. A lot of people were already writing off the season. I shouldn't say a lot. Some people were.
Well, it was one of those where you knew they were going to make some early mistakes, Chuck. Like, this was, it's somebody's birthday.
Can you all ask our listeners like they can respond? We're on top of a party of 50, a birthday party
at
KSR.
It is popping at KSR. We're actually doing the show from KS office so that we would be less distracted. That's normally a problem of ours.
I mean, is there an orchestra down there?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Beautiful sounding happy birthday, yeah. But what I was going to say, though, Chuck, that first game, I feel like the first two or three series, you just can expect stupid nonsense to happen.
No, I mean, absolutely, especially with the young guys, you know, the Jamari Brown trying to – I think he was trying to make a really good play on the ball, but he thought the quarterback was throwing it to the inside receiver.
Yes.
So I think it was going to be a really good play, but then the ball was going to the outside receiver, his man, for a wide open touchdown.
Yeah. Luckily, that got tripped.
I think it's just – like you said, first game jitters.
Well, and the thing that I like about this coaching staff and the kind of the players in general is they've even, like after Stoops on Monday, was like, well, if JP, if he reroutes the guy, the inside receiver, then we don't have to worry about it. So, like, you know, it's a little bit of both ways. But all in all, though, I thought the secondary really did settle in throughout the course of the game. Brandon Echols, that dude.
He's the real deal.
He's a baller.
Yeah, every big play, his face was right there.
I mean, they weren't the, like, oh, it's just a bad wide receiver and he's all over him. Like, he was making some good plays on some good covers, and he was downfield too, which I think was most important. It was 30 yards down the field. He was stepping up and swatting it down.
I mean, that's what you need when you have, you know, a JUCO transfer, a guy that is 2 years older than his supporting role that are young and they're athletic, but they don't know how fast this game is. And granted, you know, JUCO ball isn't as fast as SEC football. You know, it's still two more years of playing the sport at a higher level than those high school kids. So, definitely we're going to need him to step up, you know, every game and be the lockdown corner.
The one guy who played really well, Drew, I couldn't believe that the fearless leader, our boss Matt Jones, said his breakout player of the game was going to be Yusuf Corker. First two tackles of the game, Yusuf Corker.
That's right.
He recovered a fumble too, didn't he?
I think so. I think he recovered
one that Pascal brought to Yeah, a big game for Corker. Obviously, we need some names to emerge in the secondary. He's definitely one. And whoever we just said, Echols.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he get bumped to second team, by the way?
I think that they just don't care about the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean.
We did have that injury, too, so maybe that was.
It's a sheet of paper. He'll still get plenty of minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's kind of the case with him is they're just going to be. They rotate a lot of dudes at defensive back. But, yeah, you know, he had that kind of miss. The defensive line, too, I was more worried about them because right away Toledo was kind of running it right down our throats, Austin. And their quarterback, even though we said we weren't worried about the running quarterback.
I didn't say that. Drew said that.
I didn't say that.
I always am big on the dual threat quarterbacks in college just because you got young guys, inexperienced guys. Even if you have experienced guys, I mean, that dual threat, that helped us a lot last year with Terry. It just adds a different element you got to defend.
Yeah, and – the thing was, too, is that he was getting away because, like, the defensive line was just out of position in their rushes. Yes. Like, you had guys crashing down. And Calvin Taylor, he's not as fast as Josh Allen. He's not going to be catching that quarterback from behind either.
No.
But once they kind of got through the kinks, they started playing well. Got a sack from Calvin Taylor. Josh Pascal settled in. He hit the fumble. He had a nice sack later on. TJ Carter got a sack. So – I think the thing that at the time, I was glad that online there wasn't as much panic at halftime is probably years past, where I think most fans knew, like, okay, they're a little rough around the edges right now. They're a couple bad three and outs, but you know what? They got this. They're going to be able to get this together. The one that – the mistake that I was surprised that Stoops is just still, like – fuming over is
I already know what you're gonna say.
The running back.
Is it a running back?
Yes.
That one cut, I don't know if Stoops had some traumatic event when that miscut happens, but he seems to still be angry about it.
Oh, he's basically
smoke, right?
Yeah, it was smoke.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, interrupt, yes.
I was just gonna say, watching that series and drive, like Smoke had two really big runs before that. And I know he's tired. Like if you got three guys, like swap them out because those fresh legs were killing Toledo.
Well,
like, I don't think you need to leave them in all three downs. Like, if they have a run over, like, 10 yards.
No, let them finish. I disagree.
I don't
reward them, right?
It showed. It showed that he was tired and he made a bad play, made a mistake, and it cost us that drive.
I think some of it is, like, that's the part where the devil's in the details. Sometimes you want to just feed the hot hand.
Yes, and that's exactly what they're
doing. So that's what makes it tough.
But I could tell he was tired, but I was also watching on TV, and I was like, dude, I know that dude's tired, and then he made that
think
play.
About it, though. We had the freaking workhorse of the century last year, Benny Snell, that even when he was tired, he wouldn't let you bring you out.
Right.
Wouldn't let you bring him out. There you go. So I think that's something that Stoops is going to have to look at, and I think you're right. You know, when a guy's tired out there, because playing running back and when you have, you know, two runs for 30 yards and now you're in the red zone, you don't want to come out. You want to earn that touchdown, but sometimes, you know, it's not the best for the team.
Well, yeah. And it was 90 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday
running.
Yeah.
You know, 7 o'clock night game in October.
Well,
and it probably lasts a little longer.
And that play in general, because it was right before halftime. And they're moving. I think, and like you said, he just had a couple big runs before that. So you know that, like, typically on the second and one, you're trying to take a shot. But the previous time they had a second and one, they took a shot. They had a corner dialed up to Rig, and Terry didn't let it fly. Instead, he threw it over Lynn's head and out of bounds, and it killed the drive.
Yeah.
They wanted to chew up a little bit more clock. They wanted to get it to where there was going to be no time left for Toledo to do anything. And Smoke just – he tried bouncing it, loses 3 yards instead of cutting it back. And at least Eddie Grand today, he's like, you know what? There were times when Benny wasn't patient. Y'all remember his sophomore year. He had that kind of, like, funk for, like, 3 or 4 games where he was just trying to do too much. He was trying to run too hard. And I think a lot of it with the running backs is just needing to get some experience.
Yeah.
Because it just takes a little bit of time.
And the coaches also don't know what they have. I mean, this is a whole new group. This is their first game. There's no preseason in college. And barring if you're not at Alabama, Clemson, or Oklahoma, you look across the country and all teams struggled.
Yeah.
First week,
right,
I mean,
because
you just it's impossible to replicate that environment, and
right.
So they're gonna learn from this because the coaches that we have always do their due diligence, they work hard, and they'll get it, and we'll continue to get better throughout the year.
I mean, you just mentioned Oklahoma. Is Lincoln Riley the smartest? Like, is he God's gift to offensive football?
I think so. That triple option play, God,
it's crazy. Like, run,
oh,
pass,
man.
Run. Option.
Do you just give all the Heisman trophies to Oklahoma while he's there?
Seriously, like, what? The Oklahoma quarterback trophy. Because that's what it's going to be.
This is the best quarterback Heisman race that I can remember because you have Trevor Lawrence, Tua, and now you got Jalen Hurts.
And even Herbert looked really
good.
And Terry
Wilson.
And Terry Wilson, of course.
I'm still mad about Oregon.
Not
going that game.
Yeah.
You
picked the Ducks.
I was like the only person on the planet that I know of that had Oregon. You were mocking me, and I was so excited to go middle fingers up to everybody.
Dude, I love Bo Nix, though, man. He's such an Auburn quarterback.
I love him, but people were acting like that pass was, you know, like God's gift to the earth. It was really kind of a bad pass.
I mean, it was a jump ball.
I mean, it was a jump ball, yeah, but the receiver kind of just made a really good play. I mean,
yeah.
And the receiver was bigger than the DB. It wasn't like he threaded some needle, and it was a – toe tap over two defenders. I mean, all props to him, and he's sick, and I like watching him, but I was going, why are people not saying –
But he's Bo Nix. They got to do that.
I don't even know who the receiver who caught it was. He's the one that made the good play. I just know Bo Nix has balls of steel. Does he, though? Is this receiver just sick?
No, he does. He does. He's Bo Nix. And I'm going to step out of my lane again.
The first down was sick.
I'm going to step out of my lane again. Watching Bo Nix in his first game, any time he got pressure, he would sprint full speed and he would throw running full speed. And he's going to learn that he can just move a couple of yards and reset his feet.
Yeah.
And I think he'll get better. And I'm stepping out of my lane there. But I do think just noticing that, like, he's just a bat out of hell if he got any pressure.
It was
just
hilarious.
He'd run full speed.
That's why I love watching him. And I also like that he was – like, he's a true freshman, and he made some true freshmen, like, trying to put it into a window and just getting picked.
Yeah.
But I like that he kept going out there. He kept him in the game even when he was playing bad.
I agree. I'm a fan.
But – and what I didn't know until I was Googling around while enjoying my, you know, whatever beer that night, he was Alan Daly's quarterback in high school.
Bo Nix was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
And Alan Daly had a pretty big game on Saturday. If – they don't call a BS Logan Stenberg hands to the face on third and long.
Yeah, what was that? That was horrible.
That was a little soft, a little cheap.
Oh, I didn't see the replay. Was it? Did he not deserve it? I just assumed I saw Stenberg. I was like, here he goes.
Yeah.
I wonder if the refs get like a sheet of like who to watch during the game. And 71's on there.
I bet. You know what? I'm sure there's some – like, he has a reputation. Because I don't think he gets that penalty if he's somebody else. Because, like
– oh, there's a secret ref group chat for sure.
Because his – you – I mean, your hands are – like, if you're getting up underneath somebody, your hands will slip and they'll just run into it. I think they had an eagle eye on him. And what – instead of being a, you know, 50-yard gain for Daly, it's a, you know, 15-yard loss or 10-yard loss, whatever it may be. But he had a good game. The Chuck – the receivers in general.
I think they had a hell of a game.
All the way back.
It was refreshing to see. It was like, we got some weapons out there now.
Yeah,
it,
the receivers have sucked every year until
this year. I mean, I will say people – I know. People ask me what is, like, the one thing you want to see after the game. And I guess my first thing was DB play. But my second thing, maybe even 1A or 1B, was the way the receivers played. And I think both of them – I mean, I'm confident in both of them now, so I think we have a good ball team.
I don't think in my lifetime there's been a UK game where there wasn't one drop.
Oh, Drew looks at me. We're sitting there working in the press box. He goes, did they drop a pass? And I'm sitting there thinking.
And a wide open one.
I mean,
one.
You
it
even
usually
know.
Is. It's usually a wide open one.
I don't even know if it was ever you, one. And you have to tell your teammates, but you know there were plenty of bad drops when
and,
you were
and
in
we,
that room.
But we were trying to rack our brain, and they played great. And the thing that was my I think my favorite part of it all was we were like, please, just let there be one other guy besides Lynn Bowden that can catch a football.
There's like four or five.
Yeah.
And they made contested catches.
Yeah. Yeah. Bryce Oliver.
This was great.
That was awesome. And, I mean, hell, of course, Lynn had a crazy catch. So that was – okay, that was my question I wanted to pose for y'all. So I've got – because there was five just awesome pass and catch combinations. Which one was the best? Bryce Oliver's touchdown is the jump ball.
I think I'm taking that
right
one already. I don't even hear. I don't even need the.
Because
yeah,
it's the
true
one that's a touchdown.
Redshirt freshman.
Terry Wilson to Lynn Bowden in triple coverage. The
yeah.
Nice old post.
That was the best hands
when he
catch.
When he let that go, I was like, does he not see the all the DBs around Bowden?
Hits him in stride. 30-yard yeah. Game.
And Lyndon getting murdered.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I mentioned earlier. Allen Daly on third down, he had a really big – I mean, it was two third down catches, but the one that was third and 15, or third and 10, right after Terry bounced one and then overthrew Ali, got a nice little dig route to Daly. Mm-hmm. Or Lynn Bowden, the other play where he goes up on that same drive that basically put the game away, the 97-yard drive, 92-yard touchdown drive. There were two 90-plus-yard scoring drives. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty good. And it wasn't just, like, one or two big plays. They strung together a pretty long drive.
Classic Eddie Graham.
Yes, classic Eddie Graham. But Bowden on third and five, I thought the ball was going out of bounds, and he jumped up and got it on the sideline. Mm-hmm. That was pretty filthy.
You're good. You left one off.
Ahmad Wagner pass interference?
Not that one.
Okay.
Chris Rodriguez tribute to Jared Lorenzen with the over-the-shoulder throw to Justin Rigg in the end zone.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't get enough credit for the little –
yep, that was a play.
The tribute.
The little tribute.
Yep.
I mean, if you put them side by side, it's the exact same no-look over-the-shoulder motion.
Except for one was on
now,
purpose, one –
people could argue
not,
that he fumbled. I'm not
seeing
just
that's not
think,
what they called on the field. They, yeah. You know, it was.
I think
they give
in
it
his
him?
Mind, he saw an open man and threw it over his shoulder.
Hey, yeah, he's just unselfish. You
he
know?
Likes Justin Rigg, too, and he's like, this dude needs a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't got one yet. He's earned the right to get into the end zone.
How many catches do the tight ends have? More than CJ had in his entire career?
They had at least three, maybe even four.
Let's see, I'll pull it up. We've
got two for Keaton Upshaw. And zero for Justin Rigg. But he got a target.
Okay. Well,
yeah. He got a pass interference in the end zone. So we had three tight end receptions. But, Austin, do you have a favorite catch from Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think the touchdown was fantastic because it's points. But I also like the Lynn Bowden redemption catch because I have a little theory, too, of what happened. He had a little bad spell of plays after he came back out of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was kind of in awe that we had scored and we were now winning the game without him being out on the field. So it was like maybe some self-sabotage so that he would get to make the big play again.
Oh.
Just to be like, hey, guys, don't forget about me. I'm still the man. and then he went and had that beautiful catch right after that. So
he is still the man. Oh, Charles, are you sticking to your guns on your Bryce Oliver touchdown?
I am. Redshirt freshman, we need someone to pick up where we need help. I'm going to stick with that one.
I'm going
to join
in. I
thought it was a sick catch. I thought it was.
I was somewhat joking about the over-the-shoulder throw. Bryce Oliver's catch was very impressive for a newcomer.
Well, he straight
mossed. Very impressive for anyone.
He mossed the DB. Like, that's the definition. He basically went over his back and caught the ball.
Went up.
That's what we need.
One I didn't mention that, like, at the time, it was just, like, kind of you expected it. But the out route that Josh Ali caught, where it was a tight, tight pocket. And, I mean, he had to drag his toe to get down. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
That was his only catch, right? That was like 2 yards, but it was a good catch.
First times I think I've ever seen a rub play work with UK. I see it work for everyone else.
Right.
And even playing, like, I'd always be the pick guy.
Oh, of course you are. Yeah.
And something would always go wrong. It would just never time up or we'd get a flag. And that was just beautifully run. I think what could have been was almost Lynn's catch on maybe it was a corner
where his toe was
1 centimeter out of bounds.
So close.
I mean, that was almost dirty.
My favorite just, like, when Terry threw that ball into triple coverage, and like, that was one of those where I was like, oh, we got our big boy pants on. Like, that was a very, like, this isn't your grandfather's Kentucky football. This team is going to be moving up and down the field. And it also showed just how confident that Terry is in Lynn, that he can just go out there and let it rip, knowing that he's going to make a play on the ball.
I like that Lynn looks like, not that he's never been a wide receiver, but he's always been more of, we just got to get it in his hands and get up some space. Now he's looking like a guy you can throw to it anywhere on the field, any situation.
Yeah,
he seems to really be able to do it all now.
He still has that juice where he caught that out route.
Yeah.
Could have ran out of bounds for like a 4-yard game, but instead kind of did some voodoo, fake out of bounds. I swear that he fake pitched it almost.
He did. Like, he faked through it back.
I mean, that's dirty.
That's pretty.
He's so creative in space, and then if you watch how he gets tackled, he almost lets him get his ankle, and then he tries to just rip it out last second. Sometimes it works.
I'm worried about when he does that, though. When he's just, like, standing there, and they're holding on to him with,
There's definitely a medium where he hasn't learned it yet.
Just fall down, buddy.
There's times where it ain't happening. Like, for instance, that punt return where that thing was going to roll.
I thought you were talking about the signature, like where he introduced us to the let the guys be at your, right at your feet and then just lose them somehow.
But Bowden, he finished with 6 catches, 77 yards, targeted 8 times, which I feel like that's you get 8 pass attempts to him. They didn't use him in the rushing game at all. Did we even see the wild Lynn at all?
No, they're saving that.
We got the wild, who was
wild
it?
Wild Rodriguez. And he got caught from behind at number
Rodriguez.
20.
It was Wild Chris.
Wild C-Rod. C-Rod's a great nickname. Really, really pops. Chuck's one of the texters in our radio show, he had a pretty funny joke. He had never seen Alan Daly before, so he was just like, hand up, not going to lie, I just thought Alan Daly was another white slot receiver like Charles Walker, David Bouvier.
He's 89. And he's huge.
Oh, yeah, but he has the name of just like
insert. He just saw the name. He didn't see the
– He just saw him on the depth chart. He was just like, oh, well, I'm sure he's just this little white guy. You know, we always
awesome.
Got one of those
Alan
guys.
Daly, State Farm. I would buy insurance from an Alan Daly.
Yes.
He had a great quote last week.
Really?
I think I might have told you this, but Nick and I went to practice together, big company retreat we took together.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Daly was available for interviews, and someone asked him – because the depth chart had just come out for week one. They're like, what do you think set you apart, being named a starter? And he said, I don't know. And that was it. It's like, okay, cool.
Man, a few words.
Yeah, all right. I'll make sure to write a story about that.
That's great.
They're like, what did you do in camp to really –
So what did he mean by I don't know?
He was like, I don't know. They just told me I'm starting.
Oh, that's rich.
Yeah.
That did you write a story on it?
No, it's tough to make a story out of I don't know.
Was it your speed? Might have been.
I don't know. I just told me.
Could have been. I don't know.
It's also the like, oh, you're just a 6'3 guy who can play inside. That's kind of nice. You know, we don't need all of our guys to be as short as Charles Walker.
He's pretty big on that gigantic sign over your shoulder right there.
Which, by the way, Austin, you've got to feel a little offended now that you Charles has his image up at KS Bar, but all-time points leader Austin McGinnis.
And look, I'm on this growler right here.
Wow, KS growler. I even have a picture up at the bar.
And half the staff is wearing a Nick Roush shirt tonight.
Yeah.
Me and Drew talked about it. We got some things worked out, you know, some things.
That's just embarrassing for you.
I know. Honestly, this will probably be my last podcast. So if you guys want to find me, I'm going to have to start my own.
I've got the reasoning. It's because your career is not over yet. It's just the beginning.
We're waiting to get the NFL jersey.
I like that. Yeah.
Good job, Charles.
There you go.
Or the XFL.
Yeah, it's looking like
I mean, I would prefer NFL, but if it's XFL, we'll still hang it.
If it's XFL to NFL.
There we go.
That's looking like the route.
I don't want you to, like, move away. You know, we're going to be neighbors here soon.
True.
I don't want you running off to some big city to make millions.
Don't be big city living.
We could be having cookouts together.
I'll be back. I'm only going to be gone in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be back for the fall. See, really, that's the way to do it.
See, and we have to get in on the XFL apparel, too.
We're going to have a plug, hopefully.
Don't be as stingy as TK, all right?
You
got to be liberal with
that
swag.
I'm going to be all in on the XFL. Like, probably annoying about it. I'm so excited about it. But I've decided I'm not picking a team until I know where you go. And that'll be my XFL team for life, even when you move on to other things.
Bigger and brighter
things. I'm going to be loyal to them like I am UK or the Tennessee Titans.
That's love.
A lot of pressure.
That is love.
I'll have a lifetime of traveling to this city to watch games all because of where you get drafted in a couple weeks.
No pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. Well, I'm curious, too. I have no idea what's going to happen, so it'll be interesting. I wish there was a team in Kentucky, though.
Yeah,
I wish we had some kind of pro team.
As far as living here and being married, the cities aren't great options for you. They're all far away. There's not, like, a Knoxville team.
St. Louis is the closest, and that's, like, 5 hours from
here. But it's only a 10-game season, so.
Oh, yeah, it's not too bad.
It's really, like, Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but it's still going to only be, like, probably like 4 months when it's all said and done because I don't know. We'll see how long they have like training camp and stuff. I don't know. I'm hearing though it's like October 13th through 15th is what the draft is.
Scoop.
So
breaking news.
What?
That's breaking news. If you Google XFL draft, it's nowhere on the internet. They're hiding it. So he's giving us a date.
Well, it hasn't officially been announced, but that's what I'm hearing. So we'll see. We'll see.
Scoop.
Okay.
Scoot
McGinnis. I have a question about Eastern Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, don't be messing up our off-topic discussion here.
No, I only have one question, then I don't really care.
Okay.
Do they have a mobile quarterback?
They have Brogan Roback.
Yes.
Can he run?
Actually, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's
I watched him on Hard Knocks last year.
Eastern Michigan's Hard Knocks U because they got the Max guy, too, that broke his hand. Max with two X's.
Yeah.
Who was a stud and kicked our teeth in 2 years ago. I have not done my due diligence. Eastern Michigan, they're quick Deacon Dukes. Their quarterback was like 22 of 24 in his last against Coastal Carolina last week. So they like to just nickel and dime you. I don't think that they're big on the let's try to extend plays and run around kind of deal. So, yeah, don't you worry there, Austin.
Here. Why don't we just go over Eastern Michigan right now? I'm pulling up the
how
notes.
Much what do you remember about that game, Chuck? Wasn't that the game you got hurt?
It was. A couple broken ribs.
I don't
remember.
Felt
really good.
Oh, my God. What happened? Over the middle?
Yeah, they were playing cover two, and I guess I was drifting a little too close to the left safety, and Steve threw it a little too close to
wasn't
the left safety.
Wasn't I'll just put it out there right now. Wasn't
bang, bang. Catch, though. Catch and got the targeting flag.
Ooh.
And then I thought, so I was, like, staying on the ground, you know, being the smart player. I was like, all right, stay on the ground, act hurt, get the flag. Boom. Flag's there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up. So I, you know, get up and I like kind of shake it off my shoulders and I feel fine. And I take my first step and it was something like someone stuck a sword in my back.
Ugh.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not okay. And go to the sideline and I don't know. I broke a couple ribs and for some reason I felt the pain in my back, even though I broke them up in
right.
my front. I don't know.
What's the treatment for broke ribs? Like, what did they
I just
you?
I sat out the next Missouri game, and I mean that was really it.
Did you play it after
just,
that?
Hell yeah, baby!
Well, because that's the thing; it's not like you can put a rib brace on. You know, like they just they like.
It was the only game I missed in all 4 years was that Missouri game.
That was a great. That was a fun win too. Mm-hmm. Very fun win. That also, I believe that was like a game where, like maybe Kendall Randolph had to bat down a pass into the end zone.
Yeah.
As time expired to like get the dub.
The only thing I remember from that game is Lynn catching one of the punts with his head. Yes. He caught it like a spiral catch over his head on like our 10, and I'm going, oh God.
He's big on catching. He does that with kickoffs too, where he doesn't cradle it.
Yeah.
He catches it like he's catching a pass with his hands.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you got to admire the dude. He's got great hands.
He
but
does.
Still, that's not like any other.
I mean, I'll never forget
it. You don't see
it,
that.
Because he was sitting there waiting to catch it like a cradle, you're like a regular punt, and then it seemed like last millisecond just said, all right, never mind. Whoop. And I'm going, oh, God.
If anyone else would have done that, yeah, my heart would sink. But
I mean, he's got hands. He's good.
Well, even if it hits the ground, it's just going to – he's going to make a play.
I pulled up the notes.
All right, so what research have you –
They have a dual-threat quarterback.
Oh, God.
His name is Mike Glass III, presumably the son of Mike Glass Jr.
Okay.
And Mike Glass Sr.
So
hold my glass.
Last year – he played in 8 games, but he rushed for almost 500 yards and, sorry, this font's tiny, and 6 touchdowns in 8 games.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, I would say he's definitely a mobile scrambling quarterback. Last week he carried it 7 times, only for 14 yards, but did have a touchdown.
What's the spread?
14.5.
14.5.
Eastern Michigan did beat Toledo last year, I'm pretty sure. And as
they did, that is correct.
And as they, the coaches put it, they're a very sound football. Like they just,
that's what they say about any team that's not in the Power Five.
Yeah,
they're very sound.
Well coached.
Well coached. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot. But I think Kentucky. I mean, at this point, I will say they did have a bunch of their guys were on the PFF's like all MAC team in the secondary.
Oh.
So I think they had like 3 or 4 guys in the secondary who were at the top of that.
And we only beat them 24-20 last time.
I was going to say, yeah, I went down on the wire.
Weren't you on that team?
Yeah, you played.
Yeah, I don't keep up with the score.
You kicked a field goal. You scored.
And 3 extra points, I would assume. I'm going to keep scrolling through their game notes for fun facts. I don't mean to be rude with my phone in my nose, but getting some really good info here that probably should
have
done.
Yeah, I probably have CTE from all my tackles. I stuck my nose in there a lot.
How many tackles did you have?
I don't know. No, I had more than that. I had, like, probably, like, 4.
Did
they gave Grant a tackle, Grant McInnes, our kickoff guy, and he just pushed him out of bounds.
Yeah, they gave him credit for
that's not a tackle.
It's not.
That ain't no tackle.
Their running back's name is Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal
is
their running back.
That's the first fact I have.
There was a guy.
Is it Shaquille O'Neal Jr.?
He was granted a 6th year of eligibility.
Oh. Good on him. Speaking of specialists. Is Max Duffy the greatest punter in the history of punters?
You know, I think he might be.
I think there's a solid chance.
I've never been more excited about a 10-yard scramble to punt. It was
kicking it with your right foot on the left. I mean, I was
on the left. Yeah, I don't. Because that was the thing is, at first you're like, oh, that's a lot of green grass, and then you see the guys kind of starting to catch up with him from behind.
You're like, oh, is this a busted play? Like, did we push a fake when we didn't need to?
But then he let it rip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a heartbeat. I don't even know how he noticed, to have the presence that, like, oh, crap, these dudes are about to tackle
us. Well, see, here's the thing about the Aussies. In Aussie rule football, that's all they do is run around and kick on the run. So that's his bread and butter. He's been doing that, and he played
his
whole life, and he played pro Aussie football for, like, a little bit. He was good
like
enough to make it pro.
Yeah.
So that's his bread and butter is running. That's why he's so calm back there. You'll see him when he'll wait for the rush to come in. And, yeah.
I kind of wanted him to keep it.
He also might be the oldest punter UK's ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's – I don't think he is the oldest in college football, though, because –
No. Because
the
not
U,
by any means.
The U's got an Aussie punter who's, like, 30 and has sleeve tattoos and is, like, 6'6".
So does USC, and he's like a true freshman, and this dude's like 30.
That's crazy.
And people are always crapping on American punters. And we're like, yeah, because they're like 17, 18, and they just have no chance now. All their scholarships are going to Aussies.
Oh, man.
And I get it because it's a business. These coaches make millions of dollars. Why put it in the trust of an 18-year-old? We saw what happened to Michigan a while ago where he bobbled the snap.
Yeah.
get a 26-year-old who's a little more mature.
And who's already played in those stadiums before. You know, like,
yeah,
they've played in front of thousands of people in Aussie Rules football.
Well, could you imagine, Chuck, if you got to go back as a freshman right now and just redo it all over? Do you think you'd be better?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
A little out of shape now, though. Yeah.
But I love it. It's good for us. I would never – I don't want anyone but an Aussie back there from now on. I don't think we will.
I don't think they'll ever get someone that's not an Aussie after two successful ones back-to-back.
Yeah. He had a 61-yarder. He averaged 54.
The one where it looked like he was running, and I thought he was running, his form, it was like a running jump kick, and it still went 50-something yards.
It's crazy. Like, it's like, how did you even get enough mustard behind it? Like, how do you muscle up? That was crazy.
It'll be interesting because I'm sure we'll see some more spectacular little punts out of him that we are not used to seeing.
One of the few guests we've ever had on the KSR Football Podcast, too. I think it's the podcast bump.
That's true. It could be.
Yeah. It's we got to get more guests. You all call your friends.
I mean, are current players allowed to come on this? Is that like
with permission?
Yes. If we can get permission.
Okay.
Yeah. So keep that in mind.
From who? Slacks
we,
or Tim
we have
Neely?
To get through Kay. You can't just text them and tell them to show up. We get in trouble.
Hey, yeah, Cash, are you allowed to come on this?
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Cash, our boy got overshadowed by a young gun.
I think he's
Can I give a hot take? I'm not surprised.
I love Cash. We already talked about how good Square was.
Yeah, I love Cash, but he's got – some flaws, some things he worked on, and I'm sure he'll be fine. Expect him to. But Square and even Oates, who had to leave early, I think they're already close to being better and are definitely going to be better in time.
Square also put on like 15 pounds over the offseason at least. Like, at least. He looks like a different
Cut
frame.
His dreads too, like Len did.
You all might not remember, but last year I was big DeAndre Square guy. Not even remotely surprised. He's a star now.
No, I was just disappointed that we weren't tooting the horn at the pregame show at KS Bar and Grill. We should have been, but I think people know.
We were thrown off a little bit.
I think people know, but he changed the number too. He's 17 now.
Yeah,
so
he was 43.
Little bit of the hair changed the number.
17's a weird number for a linebacker.
Yeah, a little bit different. Jeff Snedeker, the Jeff Snedeker 17 is the only other time I've seen it. Yeah, but his closing speed on that sack that he had, where I think it was Pascal who, like, kind of held him up. It was one of the defensive linemen kind of held him up. And he just comes in and destroyed, absolutely demolished that quarterback. And it was one of those where normally, Austin, you see him, like, coming in from, like, a mile away, and you're like, oh, just don't whiff, just don't whiff. And then the quarterback, like, takes a step forward, and they whiff. He just demolished the guy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, on that interception he had – the aware of mind and presence to tip it up and catch it, like, that's an NFL level play. Like, he is so calm in that moment to be able to do that. Like, that was so impressive to me. I'm like, that dude looks like he should be playing for Alabama right now.
Apparently on the radio broadcast, Jeff Van Note was filling in for Pecoro, and he said that apparently he thought it was two people were in on the play because he made it so quickly. He thought that somebody tipped it up to Square. But, no, it was just Square tipping it to himself.
That's just how you know the game slowed down a little bit for him. Because I remember last year going to spring practice, and he was one of the dudes I came out of practice as a standout because he was just sticking his nose in there. He's just a little guy then. He wasn't as big as he was now. And to see him on this trajectory that he's on, dude, if he stays all 4 years, I mean – because I'm all for guys leaving early because I saw him rubbing his head after the game and –
Right, right.
I just want him to go get his paycheck, you know.
How great is it that we got a defense at the University of Kentucky? Three of their best players. You got a middle linebacker from Detroit, a nose from Memphis, and a pass rusher from D.C. And a middle linebacker from Paintsville.
I was going to say, don't forget Paintsville.
Yeah, so you just got some mean SOBs.
Yeah.
Like that's a crew right there. That's a squad.
And that's something Kentucky never had. Kentucky, as far as I can remember, every once in a while they'll get an in-state guy who's good and everything is based on them. If it's on offense, any play that's made, it's got to be that guy. Kentucky has talent all over, and it's from everywhere. And they got confidence. Some of them are mean. They got swagger. I just never thought I'd see it in a UK jersey.
No.
Quote and develop.
This is the U of a little bit up north.
Yeah.
The Northern U?
The University.
Like, I think we're a couple big wins away from, I think we need our own, like, chains and music videos, maybe a couple scandals.
I kind of like that.
Let's get weird.
Couple scandals.
Let's get weird.
No scandals,
we've
please.
Knock on wood.
Not big
we've
scandals,
done,
but maybe team goes to the strip club or something, you know.
Just we a little can't football. Afford Come any on. Steps back, though, at this program because we can't have anything hurt this recruiting trend that we're on.
Yeah. Strippers help recruiting. I mean, because how did Louisville get a national championship?
I don't mean we need something to bring the pride. Just a little show. We got some.
Yeah.
What about like a big bar fight or something?
What about a brawl on the field?
Yeah, I don't want to be on record saying we need a bar fight.
But we've had one, though.
We lost.
Well, I know we had a.
We lost. Our quarterback got knocked out.
Yeah, he did get.
That's when we were just learning. We jumped in too soon.
Yes.
We needed a few more years.
We had all the incidents then.
Yeah.
We got the campus shut down. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got just
the out cold.
See right there.
Yeah, and also, what about Marcus Harris? Is that or what was his name?
No, DeMarcus Harris is on
no,
the team now.
No, Marcus.
Marcus Walker. He got
Marcus
off.
Marcus Walker. He
recently.
Did.
Yeah, I've been meaning to post that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Breaking
news.
Well,
it didn't get off.
Yeah,
but
let's get these.
No, he pleaded down.
No scandals.
Just football.
Drew.
Just football and academics is what
okay,
we're
okay. I need
building.
To backtrack. We need a scandal. We don't need a
you're
scandal.
You're thinking that we're in a sunshine state, and we're not. To get That's the kids true. To come here, we have to just win football games.
Okay.
Just win,
if
baby.
If not, we're a basketball school, and that breaks my heart, but it's the truth.
Don't you think we need some form of a turnover apparatus? There's chains and pimp canes.
Pimp the cane, the turnover cane at Moorhead,
and
right?
And not something Kentucky themed, not the turnover coal bucket.
Ooh,
I don't
know.
Something with some.
Ooh, the turnover jockey silk.
I feel like Stoops isn't into that because he's seen, like, defenses like when he's at Florida State and Miami that were so good with, like, out that. And so he's like
yeah,
above
but they had
it
different
almost.
Swag. I mean,
yeah, they had swagger. I'm not
but
saying they didn't have swagger. They didn't have like a little chain though that everyone
what about,
has.
What about a player just wearing a big ass fur coat to the catwalk with like a bunch of gold chains
Ooh,
on?
The art
I could
still,
appreciate that.
The Art Still old picture with the fro and the fur
with
coat,
a cane.
Or no, it wasn't Art Still. Sonny Collins.
What? Who had
Sonny.
The Moorhead State have the pimp cane?
Pimp cane. Yeah. That's not going to be topped. The turnover pimp.
The
cane.
The one with the Florida State did the mask that. Seems like I would not want to put that on in Tallahassee, Florida, in August.
Well,
it just
looks
hot.
An oxygen mask underneath it. Not really.
You don't want
or
to
like
be
a
on
Bane
that FSU
voice changer.
Team either, though. They're pretty bad.
What
right
about?
Yeah. Are you? Did anybody watch that? What happened?
The what?
I saw Florida State was up by like three touchdowns.
Oh yeah, I turned
and
it
then
off
they
too.
Lost.
Yeah, Willie Taggart happened.
He will not make it past this season.
Well, their fan base wants a guy that coaches about a mile that way.
Which makes too much sense for my liking.
The message boards in Tallahassee are full of the Stoops word.
I
bet.
Let's have them keep
Come on, Florida
names.
State.
Don't write any stories about that. We don't need that getting out.
Now, let's get on there
let's
with
go
some
Knowles.
Beat accounts and just, like, say someone
yeah,
else's
be like,
name.
Yeah, like, oh, no.
We want Petrino.
Yeah, I know a guy in Russia that's got a few accounts.
Ooh, yeah.
Petrino. No, let's get Kevin Durant on it. He'll help us out. Some burners.
Yeah, he's got plenty. Other funny things that happened in college football this weekend. Let's talk about them, shall we? Drew, how's your father?
I did not call him on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday. Sunday, I went by there for dinner, and I went as long as I could without mentioning it. And he did it just like family dinner. I had bad news. He just kind of set the silverware down and was like, okay, we'll address it. Tennessee sucks. I was like, and you can't come to our side now. I've invited him to the UK side forever. He can't now after they lost to Georgia State. He had his opportunities. He's got to live with this.
They lost to a team that plays at Turner Field.
A
That's
team
their
that
home
didn't
stadium.
Exist 10 years ago.
I played at that stadium.
Two games last
really?
Year.
Really?
In the AAF. It's kind of interesting. it's like you look out.
Do they still have the dirt?
No, they have a turf field.
Okay.
And they basically have like – makeshift bleachers, and then the whole outfield is like still out there.
That's wild.
But they beat Tennessee, so shouts
oh,
out.
They in like they didn't beat Tennessee on like a bunch of like trick plays or anything.
Oh, they lined up and whooped them.
They just kicked the hell out of
and
them.
And then I love all the trolling. Their coach called it the second best win in the program's history.
He said it just means more to. I guess it just meant more to us.
Their, did you see their upset ticket special?
Yeah, 38-30. for four tickets or so, or like two or three tickets
or
something
like
that.
Yeah, like the U and the T and upset or orange.
Oh, man. And the play that won the game that put him up like two scores at the end, I've watched it at least a dozen times, and it still makes me laugh every time I see three dudes fall down at once.
Those dudes were hurt, too. The two that collided.
they collided.
It was like one
more.
And
then
the
other dude,
wrong.
It was almost like he stepped on a landmine and just, like, popped up into the air.
I have fun jabbing back and forth with my father, but I have about four or five friends who are Tennessee fans who cannot laugh or any of it. So talking to them Saturday night, I mean, they were, like, almost suicidal. They were so upset. Oh.
The one guy who posted on the message board, I'm 54 years, and I don't know if I have 10 more left in me to watch bad football. It's like, oh, my God, that is just dark.
Well, that stadium was packed up until halftime. I mean, they had fans there.
But you know what? Just to see all of the screenshots of all of the disappointed Tennessee fans, it just warmed my heart.
And they're one of the boats in the Vol Army or Vol Navy sank on the game.
They should have known, like, oh, God, this is not a good sign.
I love it.
Did y'all see Georgia State's coach's shirt?
No.
It was drenched.
Oh, you just mean how wet it was.
It looked like he got the Gatorade ice bath at halftime. It was crazy.
So between that, I was listening to that on my drive home, and I have an XM trial where they have a channel that's like college football red zone, where they just bounce back and forth between the games.
Oh, that's a great station.
Oh, and they were bouncing between the Tennessee station and the South Carolina one.
Oh, man.
And to hear the sadness in their voices. And, of course, all of these – like Kentucky's like the only school in the SEC that they don't have a broadcaster that's got a southern drawl to them talking like this. And so to hear them like, Jake Bentley back to passing. Oh, he's got a wide open receiver and – oh, when he missed him. Jake Bentley misses the receiver. Yeah, that would have been a touchdown. That's the game-winning touchdown right there. And then two plays later. And Jake Bentley dropped back to passing. Oh, it's an interception, and the Gamecocks are going to lose this football game. Just, oh, it just – I was smacking on my console, like honking the horn, driving down I-64. It made me so happy. There's just – I hate South Carolina so much. And for them to just implode in the most Will Muschamp – that was the most Will Muschamp game ever. Get a big lead and then just blow it all to hell.
Were they 20-9?
Yeah, 20-9, up 11.
It
just
makes
lost.
Us more – I mean, you had us at 15-0, Chuck, already.
I did.
The rest of us had us dropping a couple. It just makes you even more confident with Tennessee coming here. Tennessee was considered a favorite last week. It's changed by like 10 points over that game.
Really?
And Missouri lost.
Yeah, Missouri. Oh, that Wyoming. One confused me because I think Missouri's good.
Well, and the thing is, so they're playing in Laramie, which is it's the highest altitude stadium in America in any sport, anything. So, but they went out there a week early to get used to it.
Acclimated?
Yeah, to get acclimated to the altitude. But if you watched any of it, I was flipping back and forth between that and the nightcap, Auburn, Oregon. Kelly Bryant threw the worst interception I've ever. It was off his back foot, rolling away into the end zone, just like across his body, everything, everything
Don't,
you're not
yeah.
supposed to do. He did it, and the thing was, he had to carry the team because. They didn't have a great running game, and they couldn't. They lost because they couldn't block and tackle a power run quarterback read option team because that's what they did. They were basically doing like not a triple option, but it was just a bunch of zone reads with like a big running quarterback.
Yeah,
and they just did it to him to death. They were up 34-17, and blew that game. But I just
college football, man. You never know.
You never do know.
My post I worked so hard on just went up. I can give you all numbers now if how things changed.
Okay. Hit us with
some numbers. So last week, Tennessee was considered a 2.5-point favorite over Kentucky. Now Kentucky is favored by 9.5.
Wow.
That's a lot.
I wish I would have taken Cats plus 2.5.
Missouri was considered that wasn't that big of a change. Where's the other? South Carolina. That changed about 4. I guess we're still a dog there. The win percentage on ESPN for the Tennessee game went from us at 38% to us at 66%.
Holy crap.
Now, that's all just one weekend and those FBI.
They change a lot.
It's not
yeah.
accurate.
Yeah.
But it just shows how the mindset changed pretty quickly with just a couple of games.
And I do want to go back to South Carolina, too, because my favorite part about this all is that we're joking, like, he might get fired like before the Kentucky press conference. But we've mentioned their schedule. They're losing all of the games. They get Georgia Southern next week, but they're going to be bad. They have a really bad record. Jake Bentley broke his foot. And actually, I'm kind of mad. I wish we got to play Jake Bentley for the seventh time.
Yeah.
He's a fun, easy quarterback to beat up on.
He, I feel like, hasn't changed at all since a freshman. Did he improve? Did he even practice or work out? I don't mean to be mean to the guy, but
if you put his
freshman, I'm 18-year-old tape against I'm a senior, 20-whatever years old, I don't think he's any better than he was.
That's exactly what some big ESPN announcer said. He said the sad thing about Jake Bentley was we were excited about him as a freshman, and 4 years later he still looks like a freshman.
Well, and yeah. he had, if you look at his numbers, he would throw for more yards, but he would also throw more interceptions and touchdowns. But he also – his completion percentage has dropped every single year.
I mean, but that's got to be on the coaches. Like, this young kid, like – Will Muschamp is not known for developing quarterbacks.
Obviously. That's what got him out of Florida.
I kind of feel bad for the kid that he kind of just got botched by no one's obviously helping him out, or he's not getting any good tidbits over there.
Well, and that's what I like. That's what makes me happy, and that's why I like they've dug their own grave with Will Muschamp, because this is supposed to be his best team from like a talent. Like, he's in his fourth year. He's got a really good defensive line. They got a running back. Did you see that running back he's got? The kid from Clemson?
Yeah.
Feaster? The kid looks like he could actually – like they might have something there. But they still lost. And it also made me happy that I was at the hands of Mack Brown, who when North Carolina hired him, we all thought like, oh, man, what are you all doing? And then after the game, he's, you know, kind of tearing up a little bit.
He's dancing in the locker room. He had
some moves. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Did y'all see, though, that they took a knee on fourth down and left, like, 7 seconds left on the clock?
What are you doing?
In Hail Mary range.
what are you doing?
I was like, oh, dude, if they lose this game because of that, I'll feel so bad for Mack Brown.
Same thing happened with Auburn.
Yeah, why didn't they go for two? I said that when I watched it, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, the commentators, well, this is interesting. They didn't go for two. I'm like, I should be a commentator.
That and Oregon had some time management issues too.
Yeah, they called a couple timeouts.
They called two timeouts.
Like in a row.
When it was
– fourth and one with like 4 minutes ago or something like that. Like,
I think they used a timeout before the first play of the game.
Yeah, first play of the game, they call a timeout. Yeah. Now, they end up getting like 20 yards on that play.
Good
but
timeout.
Still, like.
What about UK not calling a timeout before half?
I was fine with it.
Really?
I don't remember what happened there.
I think I was already
in line for the Buffalo Chicken.
It was like a minute 40 left.
You did miss good. It was breakfast food. It was pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
biscuits
and gravy. Yeah, but not as burnt as it was on media day. It was a little rough.
You got to come back and see us for a game this year.
I'm in.
Which, by the way, I'm pretty disappointed that it's going to be a night game Saturday. Like, luckily for the fans, they won't have to roast. But I enjoyed having a remote and just flipping. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Nobody likes a media complaint, but working night games is not good for us keeping up with the college
Staying
football
Staying up all
world.
Night.
Honestly, it's tough for the players, too, on some occasions.
Well, people care more about the media than the players.
Come on, Chuck.
Go ahead.
You know, waiting all day for Eastern Michigan is not the same as waiting all day for Florida.
Yeah.
When you're 2-0.
The juices are right. Yes. So, scale of 1 to 10, Chuck, how worried are you about Eastern Michigan trap game?
I'm not worried about any game we have this year.
Damn it, Charles.
What about
this is not good. This is like
2020.
Saying I don't know.
I'm not worried about the trap game right now because we're only 1-0, and I think that Toledo and Eastern Michigan match up relatively similar, as in that they're both MAC schools, but I think that everyone on the team kind of knows, hey, maybe if their starting quarterback, Toledo's starting quarterback, doesn't get hurt, maybe these MAC teams can actually play. So I'm not worried about it. I would be worried if we played them, you know, like the fifth game and we were 4-0 and we just gave it to Florida or someone and we were had Georgia next, but I think that Stoops will bring him back down to earth and you know, point plays out where, hey, if this doesn't go our way, then we do lose to a MAC school that doesn't have as much talent as us.
I think you did mention something that not many people have mentioned since the game, is that Kentucky really did break the game open once Oates did target the quarterback.
An eye for an eye.
He's going to have to miss the first half next week. Also, can we just say that, like, quarterbacks – what are you doing sliding 20 yards down the field? And if you're going to slide, yeah, like that frustrates me because like Chris Oates was going to try to tackle him right when the quarterback started sliding.
He was already lunging before started sliding. I don't know what you want him to do there.
Exactly.
I know that's the rule, and within the rules it was the right call, but he can't just stop mid-tackle.
Right. And that's the part that, like, it's like because later on they didn't call the flag when the other quarterback tried to slide away.
Yeah.
It's like, because you're 20 yards downfield, buddy.
I wish that even after the fact they could go back and watch it and be like, look, he set out the second half. We'll back off this first half of the next game because it wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
but they're
right.
Just the rules.
LOL.
The rule. Yeah.
But
yeah,
they
the thing is about how the quarterback slid is he, like, jumped up and then slid so he could get as far downfield as he could.
Yes.
Like,
to get
someone,
that extra yards.
If there was someone trying to take his head off, he would have got down a lot quicker. So that's what also kind of made it frustrating.
Right.
Yeah, that was big for them to lose their quarterback because he was playing. I mean, he was kind of running all over us a little bit. It was a touchdown game.
No, he was having a great game.
And that was the thing is Kentucky's run defense, when it was just we're going to hand the ball off, very, like, stout. Very stout, aside from a few early kind of big runs. I think they only had, like, 100 yards if you took away the quarterback scrambles. So, like, but that you can't – I mean, you can't take away the quarterback scrambles. He was hurting them up or carving them up, and I think that's something that is definitely going to be emphasized this week in practice.
I don't know if we cover if they had their starter play the whole game.
We don't.
I think we win.
I'm very mad.
Also, that extra – I know if you had the over, you were happy about it, but Kentucky should have won by 21. That was a terrible call. Jamin Davis just knocked the dude's helmet off because he hit the hell out of him. It was a great play. And the quarterback's helmet just fell off. So they were like, face mask. I said, no, he did not grab his face mask. He knocked his helmet off.
Yeah, that was a chin strap infraction more than it was on
UK. Yeah, because he didn't – well, and he because he didn't have a buckle. Like, come on, buddy. But I also wanted to bring up something that is kind of funny because we talked about Bryce Oliver. Good to see the redshirt freshman doing his thing. He had a redshirt freshman moment at the podium where he had to stop himself from talking.
Really?
Because they were asking about
Eastern Michigan. Look, oh, we're gonna kill.
It was almost that bad, but he was. Oh, they played the exact same defense that Toledo does. So we're gonna do. And then he was like, "Oh crap, I can't say what we're gonna do." And so he's like, "So yeah, we know what to expect." Like, so all right, so that's the defense they're gonna play. And at this point, I remember sitting back. Like waiting for the players to show up for interviews, and I'm kind of, it's like, you know what? On second look, like, this was the ideal season opener. You had your stupid early mistakes, your little undisciplined in your rush lanes,
a couple fumbles.
Yeah,
that the quarterbacks
you
will
give
clean up.
Stoops
I mean,
film.
Running back will clean up.
That's a big Coach Cal thing. They win but play bad. That's what he likes because didn't affect our record. And I'm gonna go into practice and light you up over every little thing.
A lot of teach tape.
Yep.
And on top of that, they really got things rolling. And when people messed up, they didn't keep their heads down. So Terry bounces one to Josh Ali. And people, oh, Terry, turnover. Put in Sawyer Smith. And it's like, well, let him throw through it. Throws another bad pass. But that same drive, he had two excellent throws. Mm-hmm. And he finished the day with 250 yards, 73% completion percentage. And Kentucky's explosive plays. This offense hasn't been this explosive in a long time. Each running back had at least one rush for more than 20 yards.
Wow.
Five rush plays for 10 or more yards. Six pass plays that were 15 or more yards. And let me count here. 30, 40, 32, 29. So essentially four 30-yard pass plays.
Cavassier Smoke went to high school right down the road from Prattville, where I went to high school.
Wetumpka?
Yeah.
Did y'all ever play Wetumpka?
Yeah, we did play Wetumpka, but they weren't very good when we played them. But
well, it's because Smoke wasn't there. Yeah.
But I'm a big Smoke fan now because he's got that Alabama blood in him. So, you know,
it was
expecting Michelle. And on his Twitter, I clicked on it, and he's like got a tweet pinned that's like, I will be in the NFL draft.
Whatever.
3 to 4 years from now.
That's
love that. Gotta
motivation.
Love that. That's confidence right there.
But I mean, but he made the bad play early on, and then goes and makes the 40-yard touchdown play later on. So you felt like the team was learning from – they were playing through their mistakes, and they were really firing on all cylinders. Josh didn't play great to start. He had a few bad – but he's getting back to his old self. Jordan Wright's starting to step up. So I was about as happy as you could be if I just was mad they got that one, like, garbage score, because it felt more like Kentucky turned on the Jets in the second half and three touchdown kind of win.
Yep.
Well, I think there was a – well, I don't think I saw it. There was a lot of negativity with how the first half was close. I think a lot of people went home and watched Tennessee lose, lost Missouri lose, and went, oh, yeah, teams aren't hitting on all cylinders to start the year. We just won by double digits. We should be happy. So I'm kind of glad all of this stuff happened after to kind of remind us every team struggles out of the gate.
Yes.
Even Alabama needed some time to get rolling on Duke.
I thought the 9-point first quarter spread was going to hit in like a minute. And no, they didn't even score until the second quarter.
So all the frustrations of Kentucky's first half.
Yeah.
We're lucky. There were plenty of teams that have a loss because they stumbled out of the gate.
Exactly. Yeah.
People have a fascination with backup quarterbacks because even at Auburn, people were calling to replace Bo Nix at halftime.
Really?
Yeah. So it's fan bases everywhere. Just want to see that backup quarterback.
Oh,
it's like a mystery box. Show us what we got.
But yeah, and then you show them, and they're like, all right, put in the starter.
Yeah, then you wasted a couple drives.
But all in all, I was very pleased with the opener. I really like where this team is going forward, especially at the receiver position, because that was, aside from secondary, those two are our biggest unknowns. You said it earlier, Chuck. You like what you saw from both? The defensive backs, they're going to have their screw-ups, sure.
Growing pains, baby.
But they're going to give us enough. They're going to give Kentucky enough this year, and the receivers are going to make Terry look better. I think the only sack that they had was – technically, Terry's throw behind Lynn's head. I think that counted as a sack.
Was that the sack? Because I saw he had one, and I couldn't remember one.
That was it. That was the only –
because technically, it's a fumble out of bounds. Yeah, I guess that would be a sack.
Yeah. So that was
it. So he didn't get sacked.
Yes.
He made a stupid throw.
He had a – I mean, the offensive line all the way back. I mean, you just – I'm pumped. Chuck, 15-0. You said it first.
Oh, now you're going to hop on the bandwagon.
I have them at – well, had them at 8-4 – losing at South Carolina, not that I thought they were going to be good. I just thought five times in a row, eventually you have to lose.
I would just like to say, too, on behalf of our entire company, all of us, all eight of us that pick games, I think we all were just like, well, these three road games, they'll lose one or two. South Carolina surely is going to come to an end sooner or later. And I think everybody picked that way, even though we all think that they're going to beat South Carolina.
But having watched a week of football, I'd like to redo my pick. I would take a win there. I already had them beating Tennessee. I don't remember what I did with Florida, but after watching Florida play, they don't scare me.
I ain't scared of no Felipe Franks.
Yeah. Missouri, that's one of them. I have Missouri beating them.
In Missouri.
Don't underestimate Florida, though, because they're going to be
decent. Well, of course. They're Florida, and they have athletes at every position. Yeah. But
you know what?
But I'm not.
So do the Cats.
Yeah, we do. That's honestly good that they have a night game so everyone can get used to the night game before Florida, because that game is so big and so early that, hey, they get a little test run, see how it feels to sit in the hotel all day. Because next week you got the biggest game of your life.
God, the hotel when there's a night game is not very fun.
Did you all watch other games?
Yeah. So there's usually –
and you watch game day, I know, because a lot of guys would tweet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky would get the negative mentions, and then the Cashes and the Lynn Bowdens would tweet immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like about a 2 to 3 hour window where it's kind of right in the middle of the day, and you can almost kind of do whatever you want. You got to stay in the hotel, obviously, but – some people nap. Some people do whatever
play
they
cards
want. Yeah, some people play cards. Just kind of a weird window. That's why noon games are awesome, because you literally wake up, watch barely any film, pregame meal, and you're like out the door.
Nice.
What did you do on night games, Chuck? Were you a sleeper? Or?
I try to take a nice 30-minuter. Yeah.
I felt like I was just in a coma all day long. Like, I just kind of laid there.
Yeah, you didn't want to sleep too much, because like you take a 3-hour nap before a game, then you're like, I don't even want to do anything.
Man, I remember when I could actually sleep for a long time, too. Those good old days.
Getting old.
Getting old. The hangovers, too, from a weekend of drinking.
I'm just noticing, I know this isn't good for podcast listeners, but I'm looking around the office now that it's dark.
We've got a nice ambiance.
This is going to be a badass place to watch the away games.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got to get the TVs rolling.
That's on my list.
Yeah.
Well, NFL Sundays up here. Everyone listening, you have no idea what I'm talking
about. Oh, my God.
About.
This is a great NFL Sunday.
We have our big-ass fan blasting up here. Yeah.
We should just start videoing these and throwing them up on YouTube.
Don't we have camera? Like, we've got that camera, right?
Yeah, if we're going to take the next step, then we should do it. Do the do.
Austin, if you're going to challenge us, you should be caught up on the times. We already hired someone to do that.
All I'm saying is I don't see a camera here currently.
He couldn't do this
one. Yeah, we got Brad to B-roll on the team.
Yeah, he filmed the Free Money podcast last week.
Okay, see?
So we're already one step ahead of you.
Wait, so you mean to say that Matt Jones and Drew Franklin are top billing over Austin McGinnis and Charles Walker?
No, that is not the case. We just had a meeting with Bradley that happened to be right before we recorded it. So we said, hey, bring your camera.
Huh, that's a good idea.
But maybe next week there will be multiple angles. I might even tell you all to dress up. We don't have to tell you. You show up in pants, even though I'm wearing pants today.
Yeah, come on, dude.
We'll let you all know if we need to get hair and makeup done.
Man, I actually have makeup.
I do, too.
Did you have to get makeup?
What? This way makeup. Somewhere left turn, the ambiance.
Some of us do television.
Yeah, when you do TV, man, it's –
Hey, I did some TV.
Austin's been a big Hey Kentucky staple.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad they didn't choose me as the host. You know, maybe I'm 5 years out from that, but let's just say I'm in the running.
I'm going to no comment that one.
I chipped in. It's on Sunday. Off the green. That was pretty awesome.
How far? We're
playing golf?
Yeah, like it was only like 20 yards. It was still pretty awesome.
I started planning a wedding.
Are we on the guest list?
That is the worst. I don't wish that upon anyone.
Oh, we're not.
Finally, no.
I told you this is my last podcast.
The wedding is the worst.
Yeah. No, you all aren't on the guest list either. But, like, I'm serious. I'm not going to back out on the engagement, but I'm struggling with this wedding planning.
It sucks.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose.
We have a spreadsheet of guests.
Oh, my. How many spreadsheets do you have in your life?
I'm a big spreadsheet guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you tell people no to the wedding.
It sucks, man.
We had names, and I didn't know what the total was. You know, it does all the math for
right,
you. We scrolled down, and I was like, holy we can't have that many people. She's like, well, who are you eliminating? I'm like, well, none of them. She's like, well, you have to.
Yeah.
Just two weddings. Just two separate ones.
Dude, you got to just elope, man. And then, like
– thought about it.
Just do it at Kroger Field. Everyone can come.
That sounds like the worst wedding of all time.
The watch in the stands.
Actually, the Woodford Reserve is a big
she works for UK. Maybe they'll
give you a deal?
Yeah.
A little discount?
I don't think Mitch Barnhart's a big fan of me these days.
There was a time in my life, Drew, when I would just come home and just start help. Like, I would just help with decorations for, like, while I was watching TV. I couldn't just sit there and watch TV. I had to be, like, messing with flowers or something.
That's going to be my life.
Yep.
Just what's the time frame?
Can I tell you something that kind of made me sad a little bit?
Sure.
Well, a lot of sad.
Okay.
We had already done a hypothetical guest list earlier in the summer, just in conversation.
Pre-wedding planning?
Just like, you know, what would it be? And Jared Lorenzen was on my must-invite list, and I scrolled down and saw it last night. Kind of tugged on the heartstrings.
That sucks.
Not to bring the podcast down. But
well, you brought it down.
Yeah, I did.
But it was cool. They did the 22 at halftime.
That was very cool. See,
that
I gave you a segue.
Cool. Yes.
Terry meeting his mom before the game.
Yes, that was a really good moment.
The twos didn't take off.
No, I thought they
might.
You all
don't listen to our pregame show. Someone called in and said instead of a four that they hold up for fourth quarter, do two twos because it equals four.
I think it'd be a great idea.
Some people tried it, but I think we need
to have the team. You got to get the players. So, Austin, Charles, talk to your people.
We plant 10 people in every section.
Yes. So, be a mole.
We need a committee.
Because I think it's actually a really good idea. Like, most of the time when people call in, like, with suggestions, they're really bad suggestions. That's a good suggestion, and it's almost like the 4-1 where it kind of just – you could see it like being like a kind of a natural thing. I could see it picking up, taking off.
Look, we're in the press box. We can't do it. We need the listeners to
do
this.
Yes, no cheering in the press box. No cheering in the press box.
That's a rule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound very fun.
Yeah, it's not very fun.
I cheered one time.
This was a lot of fun, though, this podcast.
What? Did you record it this time?
Yes. Oh, shit. No, yeah, I got it. But, yes, it was a good podcast. We're going to have more good podcasting in the future. And I think we're going to have something nice cooked up for next week.
All right.
I should probably –
Is it Gator? Are we eating Gator during the podcast?
I'll
bring a live Gator to the podcast.
really? I actually knew somebody who had a Gator in college. That was a bad idea.
Are you all friends with was it Max Strong?
Yeah, we could get. He could bring some crazy animals.
Yeah.
What is he
with
into
his
the
5 billion Instagram followers now too? He's famous.
Really?
What he could definitely bring Jelani the hyena. Yeah, he was kind of punter, specialist, kicker, hybrid.
So wait, what is he? What does he? How does he have a million Instagram followers?
Now he's just Instagram. He's always with some wild animals.
Yeah.
And not wild animals that you could still find in Kentucky, like.
Zebras.
Like hippopotamuses and stuff.
Really?
What's the plural of hippopotamus?
Hippopotami.
He's always with, like, lions and tigers and ligers
and bears.
This is the hyenas. Long way of me asking you all to get in touch with him about a live gator.
Do you want it at your wedding?
No, I don't have room on the guest list for a live gator.
Well, this one's free. It'd just be right there at the
altar. I might
altar.
Give away a wedding invite on the podcast.
Oh,
so
just a random listener.
I have
plus one.
I have weekend passes to Bourbon and Beyond that I need to give away.
Give them away right
on
here
on the podcast. But I would like to. I think we should tell people to go to KS Bar and Grill for next Monday's podcast as we get hyped for the Florida game, and we'll give away some tickets there. How about that?
I like that.
So if you show up to the bar next Monday night, they'll have Monday night football going on afterwards, and I'm going to give away some passes to somebody at the bar.
And I'll give away something out of our giant box of memorabilia up here in the office.
It's going to be an incredible night. So, yeah, show up next Monday. I'm going to give away some Bourbon and Beyond passes. You can watch John Fogerty, ZZ Top.
Hall & Oates.
Zach Brown Band. Yeah, and the best part is, too, is it's Mississippi State game weekend. So, you're not going to Starkville. So, watch the Cats. Then go listen to some great music. I'm going to be there having a great time. It's going to be fantastic. So, come on out. Listen to the podcast next Monday at KS Bar and Grill. And we're gonna be celebrating another win because the Eastern Michigan Eagles are going down. By the way, it's a crime that their mascot isn't the emus.
Because it spells emu?
Yes. What are they thinking? It's horrible branding. Eastern Michigan, we gave you that idea for free. The next idea, though, we will send you an invoice.
Who's on Monday Night Football? Do we need to create some kind of –
There's two Monday Night Football games, right? Oh.
Yeah, there usually is a start
on the start. You see,
well, we'll figure it out. Then we'll come up with some fun for that too.
Yes, yeah. So it'll be a big night at KS Bar and Grill. Come on out. We'll see you then. Until then, we'll see you at Kroger Field. Pre-game show will begin at what? 3:30
with special guest Ricky Lumpkin.
Oh,
wow!
NFL fame.
He's got a job at UK now, right?
He's back.
He's with Cats.
He put together a pretty good career.
Oh, yeah, he was in the league for
like longer.
Like probably getting retirement
longer than
checks.
Anyone expected. I would say.
Yeah. So, awesome. Yeah. Much better than me as the guest appearance.
We replaced you with Ricky Lumpkin.
Yes, so.
And if we're going to keep promoting the pregame show, coming up we have Jacob Tammy as the guest, Tim Couch, Steven Johnson. Maybe one of these guys. I don't want to work them too hard on the microphones, but they're always invited.
Yeah.
I know you guys like to tailgate and party. I would hate to cut into your Saturday. But
in and out, baby.
Open invite to
I'm
you
open.
All, too.
I tailgated the Louisville-Notre Dame game yesterday. I really love my job because tailgating is –
It's tiring.
It's incredible, though. A lot of fun.
Thoughts
and prayers.
I
miss it.
The day I quit KSR, I don't know when that'll be, but the sole reason I'm quitting is so I can start tailgating again.
Yeah. Not
I
like
miss
to,
it so much.
Not
I thought
like
I was
start
you
a
could
family.
Focus on your wedding planning.
No.
Let's go full time.
The
well,
worst
no, he has to
part
pay
about
it.
Our job is not tailgating. Oh, I used God. To love tailgating.
Man, where's your favorite spot?
Well, where yes. I would do it back in the day has changed. It was off Cooper. Mm.
Ooh, that hillside right there?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's back – I mean, I was in college last time I tailgated where I had like $30 to spend. I feel like I could put together a better tailgate these days.
Yeah, probably
now that I have $40 to spend.
Just take the – you gotta save that money for the wedding, though.
I already have anxiety.
Is your wedding going to be in town?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
You know what?
I'll find you.
I already have a date that I'll tell you all after.
I hear the folks at KSR just bought
and
a wedding
where?
Venue. So.
And how to sneak in.
Hey, didn't Hubby just buy a wedding venue place?
Yeah, but it doesn't hold enough.
Oh, God. You're just going to have to, like, rent a gym. This is a massive.
Hey, by the way, if you're listening and you have any wedding hookups, feel free to email
me. Slide into those DMs. Drew Franklin at KentuckySportsRadio.com. Well, we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. It's time to go. But
Bachelor in Paradise has now been on for 28 minutes, and I'm missing it.
Well, you know, you can fast forward through the commercials.
Okay.
But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, good
Thanks
to have
for
everybody
listening.
Back.
Good to hear. Have everybody back listening to an actual good podcast. Cats are going to take down EMU, the Fighting Emus, Saturday night, and then we're going to be partying next Monday at KS Bar and Grill before the Cats take on Florida. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see y'all later.
Woo!
and peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.